Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for coming to today's Bhagavad Gita lecture on chapter 3 entitled Karma Yoga. It's a very, very practical, very important chapter. Today is text number 31. Do you sing it or just the lecturer reads it? How do you do? Normally the lecturer reads because the class is short. Okay. In the previous verses, Krishna has been telling Arjuna to offer all his works, all his actions, offer them to him without being lazy, like work actively with great determination, but at the same time being detached from the results. So work as a matter of duty, and even if it's difficult, like for him it was difficult to fight with dear ones. His situation was like that of a policeman who has to protect innocent people from thieves who happen to be his family members, people connected to him. So it's a very difficult situation for such a policeman. But his duty is actually to protect the innocent people and to do something to stop his own family members who are misbehaving. He should correct. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, you should do your duty. Do what you have to do. Your duty is to protect your kshatriya, and do it surrendering all the results to me. Krishna says, to God, meaning he's God, so offering, surrender all your results and be detached from the fruits of action. And in today's verse, Krishna is analyzing the results of following such good advice, wisdom, the wisdom of sacred writings and the spiritual masters, or what are the results of not following that? This is the topic of the verse.
Yeme matam idam nityam anutishtanti manava shradavanto nasuyanto muchyante tepi karma bihi.
Do you sing the verse normally? For Gita, no. Srila Prabhupada's translation on purport.
Ye means those who, me, my, matam, injunctions, idam, this, nityam, as an eternal function, anutishtanti, execute regularly, manava, human beings, shradavanta, with faith and devotion, anasuyanta, without envy, muchyante, become free, te, all of them, api, even, karmabihi, from the bondage of the law of fruitive actions. Translation: those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. purport. The injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom, and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord. But because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. Yeme matam midam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shradavanto anashuyanto muchyante tepi karma bihi. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive action. One of the main topics we find in the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita is the principle of dharma. Dharma means, there are different meanings of dharma. Dharma means occupation or duty. It means religion. It means the essential nature of something or of someone. For example, Srila Prabhupada gives the analogy of fire. The essential nature of fire is heat. We don't find cold fire, do we? Fire? The nature of fire is heat. Or the nature of water is moisture. Should be moist and liquidity. The nature of sugar is sweetness. So the nature of the self is seva, service. This is the nature of the self. The Atma is not just an inert energy, but to the contrary, it is the active energy. The Atma is giving the self is giving life to the dead matter, to the body. Recently Jamasami Prabhu and I were in Cabo Verde in Africa, and we were giving different lectures, speaking to students in different schools, in universities, also to the general public in cultural centers. And many times we explained this principle, especially to the young students, in order to illustrate what is the difference between
dead body and a living body. Like, for example, if I'm speaking here, if today some a student interview me about that, what do I think about that? For her sociology of religion course essay. And then, okay, I was reflecting on that. What do I think about that? One thing I think is that I can die at any moment. Not only I, any of you also. God forbid, but that's possible. And if I'm lecturing and I suddenly die here, and this will be a dramatic lecture, maybe traumatic for somebody, the speaker is talking and suddenly dies on the spot. So, but then we will look, what is the difference? If we look at, now I'm alive, I'm speaking, I'm communicating. But if I die, my body is lying down here on the floor. What is the difference between that body and this body? We can say one is very simple. This is dead, this is life, alive. But what makes one alive and the other dead? From the biochemical point of view, there is practically no difference. The elements are there. Okay, the temperature has changed, but the elements are there. If it was only a matter of chemistry, we can just inject whatever substances are missing can be injected in the dead body. But no scientist has been able to prove that, to revive a dead body. Even the greatest surgeon, when the time of death comes for a person, cannot do anything to save that person. We see sometimes people, they have big amounts of money, they're willing to pay extra to the doctor to cure them, but they die. And sometimes a person who has nothing because his karma, his destiny is not to die, will not die even in very difficult situations. So the difference, according to Shastra, to Bhagavad Gita, to Srimad Bhagavatam, according to the teachings of the great acharyas, the spiritual masters, the difference between the living body and the dead body is the presence of the Atma. So the active principle is the self, the Atma. And the misconception is to think this is how we embodied souls, people, generally think. We think we are a body and we have a soul. We talk about my soul. Maybe we have a soul. I'm not sure. But the teachings of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita is that we are soul, the self is the soul, and the body is the dress. Very basic, simple philosophy to read about, and we can talk about, but not so easy to assimilate and to experience, to live it. So the dharma of the Atma, of that eternal self, that active principle is seva, to serve. That's the dharma. It's the essential nature of the self. We cannot avoid it. We have to serve someone. If I don't want to serve God. Okay, somebody may say, I don't want to serve God. But then we have to serve somebody. We have to serve another person. And then the person we choose, in the beginning, the mentality, the idea is, this is a distorted condition of the embodied self. It's a distorted condition, in the same way that the water, due to the, like we experience these days, due to the Siberian cold winds, cold temperatures, which are expanding throughout all Europe, make the water become ice. And it is not so pleasing. Sometimes we may be very romantic about it, about the snow, and play a little bit with balls, like snowballs. But then the ice is not so pleasing. It's cold and you can fall down due to the snow. It's risky business. So similarly, due to the distorted condition of the self, we become involved in selfish relationships. Instead, the seva, the service spirit, becomes, I want to take service from the other person. And instead of serving, I serve my senses. I become what Srila Prabhupada uses the term, godas. Godas. Godas means servant of the senses. Even if we become selfish, still we have to serve, because our nature is seva. So Bhagavad Gita, that's the what is called the Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan Dharma is an eternal condition, eternal occupation of the Atma, of the Self. To seva, to serve. Whether we like it or not, we may not like, but we have to serve. The most wealthiest person, he may say, no, I'm a multi-billionaire, I don't need to serve anybody. Suppose somebody like that. But many wealthy persons, they know, unless they serve, they will lose what they have. Even Mr. Bill Gates, he knows, I have to give charity. If I don't give charity, I cannot maintain what I have. Many of these wealthy people, they are pious, they give to other people. It's whether knowingly or unknowingly, they do that. Of course, there are others who are very arrogant and exploitative, and there are many like that also. In such cases, such a person who may say, no, I don't serve anybody, still that person has to serve, for example, the calls of nature. Cannot say, I don't serve, has to surrender. Has to surrender to illness, to old age, to death. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mrityu Sarva Harashtaham, I am the all-devouring death. So we have to surrender. So that's the principle of Dharma, Sanatan Dharma. We are eternally, we are servants. And actually, eternally, we are Krishna Das, servants of God. If we don't serve God directly, we serve Him indirectly through nature. But we have to serve, we like it or not. Then, This is the Dharma, Sanatana Dharma. And then there is also another explanation of Dharma. It will be okay, but how this translates for me, a person living here in Belgium in 2012. That apocalyptic number for some. 2012, the year according to the Maya calendar, the year of the end. Whether we take it or not, I don't take it very seriously personally, but some people do take seriously. And some people do make a lot of money from those who take it seriously by making films and many, many things. And I don't think they're making the money for the destruction. They're making the money to live after the destruction. This 20 whatever December 2012. So, but whatever we take, whatever stand we take, and it's fine. I'm comfortable also and respect those who think in apocalyptic terms. Sooner or later will come the apocalypse for us. If not for everybody, for each and every one of us at the time of death. So, regardless of that, how does that apply to me? What is my mission in life? What is my dharma? And Bhagavad Gita is about that. How to apply that principle of service properly in human life. And in the case of Arjuna, was okay, you are a prince, you are a warrior, you are meant to protect people, you have to protect the people. They need your protection. You cannot excuse yourself and go to meditate when people are being plundered, when people are being exploited. You have to do something about it. This is Dharma. And for each and every one of us, life will put us in situations where we are torn. You know what it is to be torn? We are pushed from two sides. One side will say, no, this is proper. The scripture says this, the sages say this, natural wisdom say, do this. But then there will be the impulse of the mind, impulse of the senses, impulse of the company, some people who will tell, no, come on, don't be, that's old-fashioned, get real, do this, experience life, come on. And then we will be torn sometimes, what to do, what not to do, to be or not to be. That is the question, Shakespeare will say, Hamlet. So, to be or not to be. To perform Dharma or not to perform Dharma. And Bhagavad Gita is about making decisions, making dharmic decisions, making decisions of understanding what are the consequences. If I do this, this will be the consequence. If I do that, that will be the consequence. And Bhagavad Gita gives us a spiritual intelligence to see beyond the immediate. I'm okay, thank you. To see beyond the immediate superficial pleasure. Many times, usually what happens in life, the mind creates, like sense enjoyment is 90%+ is imagination of the mind, fantasy. The mind makes a whole idea. You're going to do this, you will go there, you will enjoy in this way, that way, you will meet these people, and you go there, and you get many opposites, many times. It's quite frequent. You get some and little enjoyment. Generally, the enjoyment is not as much as one was imagining to be. And then, together with the enjoyment, you get the other side of the coin, which is the dukkha. There is a sukha and dukkha. Sukha is happiness. Dukkha is suffering. And this is the coin. Sorry, I mean, you want that coin. This is the currency you're asking. This is... So we get it. We ask for it. And then we get all the package. I cannot say I want to have a baby, but I don't want to clean the stool of the baby. You cannot. This is, if you want a baby, you have to clean the stool. That's life. And of course, mothers do it with great love and care, and that's natural. But this is the reality. And then it means that the baby will cry. You will not sleep at night sometimes. Mother and father. So whatever we choose, we make, life is about choices. Whatever choices we make, there are consequences. And then dharma means to make responsible choices. To do it as it says here, there are two key words, Shraddhavanto, with faith, with a spiritual faith. Knowing that, okay, Krishna is giving me this direction, this is good direction. He's giving me good reasons. Faith on those teachings. And without envy. Without envy means it may be difficult for me to do it. It's difficult. And even Prabhupada in the purport, if you notice, he says, sometimes we may not get it right in the first place. Sometimes we do our best to do it, and we fall to the floor. But that very same floor where we fall will be the place, that same earth, from where we will get strength to stand up again. Then stand up again, clean the dust, and go ahead. This is what Prabhupada is saying here. And Prabhupada is emphasizing, based in these two words, faith and non-envy, is emphasizing the principle of sincerity in a spiritual life. Sincerity in performing dharma. Being ready to sacrifice. Being ready to pay the price. And okay, sometimes if that sincerity is there, he says, even if sometimes we don't make it, even if sometimes it seems that this spiritual life is too difficult, this guru is asking too much, come on, give me a break. What is he asking? He's waking early in the morning every day and doing sadhana and doing so many things and not doing other things seems to be too expensive. But Prabhupada says, he comments on non-being envious, says, but because one is not resentful of this principle, so even if I'm not able to do it completely, don't blame others. Don't try to be the, everything I do is good. No, I'm a rascal, I don't do things good always. I could do better and I don't do it. Take responsibility for what I don't do. Acknowledge my shortcomings. If I do that, then I can build up. If I don't acknowledge my shortcomings and start blaming other people for whatever is not coming out right, or worse even, blaming Krishna for making it so difficult, then that resentfulness, that's what Krishna says here. Envy. Krishna says, follow without envy. Even if you have difficulty, okay, it's fine. It's fine. Don't be resentful. Do your best. Do your best with a happy heart. And then Krishna will accept it. Because Krishna is accepting the good intention, the sincerity of the offering. Even if the offering is not as good as we wanted it to be. Like we have the example of the Brahmana in South India who cooked mentally. He didn't have any money, any resources, so he did the seva in the mine for many years actually. And then once he cooked sweet rice for Krishna, and when he touched the pot in his meditation to see if it was cold enough to be offered, he burned himself. It was too hot. And when he actually burned his finger, he looked at the finger and it was red, and it was pain, giving pain. And then Krishna, the Lord of Narayan in Vaikuntha, then he started smiling. When he saw that the intense yoga, the intense meditation of his devotee for so many years, so sincere, so simple, without anything to offer, doing his best. And then he called him back. The associates of the Lord asked him, "What's happening? Why you are smiling? What's amusing?" He said, "Okay, he called him back, sent his messengers to bring him to Vaikuntha, and then he told what had happened." So, Dharma is about making the right choices, even if sometimes we are not able to fully succeed, making the right choices. Like in this section, there is Krishna gives the example, and it comes later at the end of the Gita, that as the fire is covered by smoke, every endeavor is covered by some type of defect. Of course, we shouldn't use that to justify our mistakes or shortcomings. We should acknowledge them and build and work to improve. But the point is that the attitude and the right choices are very important in devotional service. And Krishna told Arjuna, "You fight. Don't flee from the battle. You have a mission, do your mission. And if you don't know your mission, find out from the right sources what your mission is." Thank you very much for your kind attention. I think it's time to stop, but until the kirtaniyas come, if there are one or two questions we can take, or comments. Yes, we should look within our heart which type of service thrills us to do, and that we can offer it to Krishna very naturally. Some people love cooking. Like today, Mahalakshmi Mataji and her team, they did excellent cooking. And this is because that's her dharma, it's natural. She thrives in the kitchen. So where do we thrive? What service we can do which is flows? Sometimes we may say, "Okay, but I don't find that." There must be something. If we don't find it immediately, pray to Krishna. Consult with more experienced people, and especially look it with deep within your heart. What flows naturally for you? There must be some activity. And of course, there may be in the beginning, there may be some period of experiencing, if I'm not sure, different services. Traditionally, this will be done during the study period in the youth, and then when the person is an adult, knows what is his or her dharma, it becomes clear. And this will be done by the with the help of the guru, the help of the parents, and the help of the well-wishing, wise community members in the village or in the place where the person lives. This will be the classical tradition. Nowadays, in the modern context, maybe becomes more difficult because sometimes people don't know each other. It's like people are living in the same place, in the same building, they don't know each other. They don't have many people to consult. That's why we develop communities, to find support, find spiritual support, wisdom from more experienced spiritual masters, teachers. And, okay, wherever we are is fine. We should build up from there. It's not, if I didn't find out my dharma exactly, okay, I never is late, we can still do. And in the age of Kali, sometimes the dharmas, a person may have more than one nature mix, that's quite typical. So you can also combine them with proper guidance and experience. They're waiting outside. Is that okay? Yes. Krishna says it's dangerous to follow the path of someone else. He says it's better you perform your own dharma, even if it's done imperfectly, and to follow the dharma of others if you do it well. Say for example, and he says because it's dangerous to follow the path of another. Say for example, I am a monk. It's the duty of the husband to take care of the wife. If the monk tries to take care of the wife of someone else, even if he knows how to do it, good skills, will get into trouble. It's dangerous for a monk to take care, to follow the duty of a married man. And for the married man, it's dangerous to follow the duty of the monk. The monk renounces the money, renounces, or whatever money receives, gives it immediately. But the married man needs the money to take care of the family, to feed the children. If a married man tries to act as if he, no, I am renounced, then why did you get married in the first place? Be consistent. We take decisions, be consistent with the decisions we take. Of course, we know that's not always so easy. Sometimes it's not that easy. And there are challenges, and therefore, as we were saying in the beginning, sometimes we feel torn. And then we have to respond, be consistent in our responses, and build up from inside to outside. Does that make sense? I don't know if I... You mean if somebody is envious towards us? Well, we shouldn't take it personally. It's better to take it as to see, okay, Krishna is putting this person in front of me to help me learn something. If somebody touches us and it hurts, we shouldn't blame the person who touches us, but we should look, what is it that hurts? There may be some, we may see envy in the person, and I don't say that's not true, but there may be something in us also which still is there, and because the person is touching, so we feel hurt. So take it in the positive side as an opportunity to improve. It's better than to take it personal and going down. If one is doing well and the other person comes with an envious attitude and we go down, that's not very useful. Not helpful for us, not helpful for the person either. Does that make sense? So we'll give the mic to the Kirtanillas to sing the holy name of the Lord. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.